We return then to verse 95, Psalm 119 and verse 95. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Dear congregation, this world is not heaven. There are no tears in heaven, but here many are shed and fall down the cheek. There is no sin in heaven, yet here sin abounds. There is no foe in heaven, yet here they line up in battle against the people of God. And the psalmist was well aware of this, and so was our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Were you not reminded of him as you thought on those words already? Verse 95, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. We're mindful of Christ, who had those that opposed him, who plotted against him and sought to destroy him. If you recall last Lord's Day morning, we read in Matthew 12, verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They plotted, they planned, they schemed, they desired to the destruction of our Lord. Well, let us not be surprised then, when we become aware of the plots and schemes of ungodly men, we who love the Lord, we're following Christ. And in following Christ, we will in our lives from time to time be aware of those that so oppose us and seek our harm. Now in such a time, let us follow the example of the psalmist here and turn to the word. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. First of all, this evening, I'd like us to consider they wait for me. And then secondly, God's word will be my consideration. God's word will be my consideration. Well, first of all then, they wait for me. In verse 95, we read, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. There are people in this world who are watching and waiting for the Lord's people. Now consider, sometimes police officers wait for a criminal to appear. Others who are bullies in the school wait for another pupil to come around the corner. Some are the enemies of the gospel, and they are waiting this night for the Christian to walk down the path or come into the office. And then further, there is the devil, who, as we read in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There are our enemies. They plan and plot against the church. And there is the devil, and he is like that roaring lion. And he plots, and we're not ignorant, are we, of his devices, 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. He knows he cannot get us back, but he will seek to do as much harm as he can. He's out to cause you harm, some trouble for the believer. So he plots and he plans. He so wishes he could get you back, but he knows he can't. However, he will seek to disturb your life. He will whisper fear in your ear, sow doubts in your heart. Can the Lord really help you? Will you really get through? He wants to harm you. He wants you to look in another direction. He wants you to be so discouraged and not lean upon the Lord. And so he will make his plots. We are not ignorant of his devices. He will seek to discourage God's servants. He will seek to bring trouble, if he could, to those who so live for Christ. He has his tactics. He paints this world in fair colours. It's not really that bad, the sinful things of this world. He will do that. And so there comes this desensitising to sin. He will use ungodly men, how he uses such, to speak a word against the child of God. As we see here in our text tonight, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. The psalmist was well aware of the tactics of the evil one and the plots of wicked men. But here are the ungodly, the wicked, literally guilty of crime. They're not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're breaking the first commandment, therefore in doing so, they're guilty. They plot and they scheme. And we notice here that the wicked have waited. It's not something that the psalmist thinks might happen in the future, yes. But he knows it's already happened. The wicked have waited. They've waited for me in times past. They will wait for me in the future. But they're waiting for me at this present time. And we need to be on our guard. It is something so real. The devil so hates you, so he will use ungodly men. The wicked have waited for me. They're looking out. You think of a wild cat, maybe in Africa or some other country, and the cat is on the prowl. And there the cat lurches and waits and looks. Sometimes you can watch a domestic cat. Sometimes I watch my own cat, and it's watching. It's watching for some mouse or rat to appear. It's looking and waiting. We hear the psalmist says, the wicked have waited. They're waiting, they're looking. They're waiting for me. They're looking out for me. And that's the reality. There are people in this world who are waiting for you. To come round the corner maybe. To come into some place. They're scheming. The ungodly, the wicked, were waiting. They were looking. And what does the psalmist say here? The wicked have waited for me to destroy me. You remember how the presidents and princes plotted against Daniel? We read in Daniel 6 verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king fought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the Lord his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And you know how they so desired that King Darius would make a decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, you recall Daniel, he hears, he knows the writing, verse 10 of chapter 6, and he kneels on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. And what do we read then in verse 11? Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They assembled. They were waiting. They were watching. And now they come. And there are those who are waiting and watching over the Lord's people. And then they will make their move. This is what we must be aware of in this world. This world isn't heaven. Out in Ethiopia recently, many Christians have been put in prison. And they're so suffering. They've been treated cruelly there in the prison. And now with COVID-19 and the restrictions, they're being treated even more abominably. Food is being made outside, but the authorities are not allowing the food to be sent in to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Some are so suffering. Parts of China as well. There are those tonight in this world waiting to do harm to the people of God. Now there may be some who are waiting. They're not waiting to destroy you. But they just want to cause you a little harm. They're waiting to trip you up. Remember with Daniel, they were waiting to trip him up. They wanted something. They wanted him to slip so that they might have something to accuse him of. And there are those who are waiting. They want to cause you a little difficulty. They want you to trip up. Maybe to cause you embarrassment, shame. There'll be those who will wait and watch for you. And then they may say something unkindly, a rude joke. There'll be those who will watch Christians in order to say something to the manager so that they lose their job. This happens in certain parts of the world. We are in hostile territory, and we are going to face tribulation. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Either we can forget what Christ says there, or we can prayerfully consider what Christ has said, and we seek to watch and pray. We are in hostile territory. There is a cross to bear in following Christ. Let me ask you as pastor, how have you been doing in cross-bearing? How have you been doing in cross-bearing? Take up the cross daily and follow me. How have we been doing? This world is not home. This world is not heaven. Can I assure you, when you get to heaven, you will be so amazed after looking at Jesus how much better heaven is than this world that you lived in. You will be amazed at heaven. You'll be amazed at the perfection there, the perfection of your soul. This world is not heaven. There is a cross to bear in following Christ. Are you struggling in cross-bearing? Yes, we struggle in certain trials, but here's the question tonight. Are you struggling in cross-bearing? In suffering for the sake of Christ? If you are, remember, you have a sympathizing friend who will help you and support you under the cross that you are bearing for him. Psalm 94 verse 18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. My foot was slipping. The cross is heavy on me. But thy mercy came, O Lord, and held me up. What a lovely description of the power of God. His mercy. His merciful power. O Lord, held me up. He will help you. It's not easy in this life, is it? Yes, there are some calmer days. But there's still the ripples on those calmer days, is there not? But at other times, we find ourselves in stormy weather. And so many are against us, and we're aware of it. I remember walking through the village some 5 years ago, and a certain lady came down the village, and she was about to say something to me. And then she stopped herself. I won't tell you that. Smiled and walked on. She refrained from saying something that would be hurtful to me. But we need to be aware. But oh, the Lord is with us. He will support us. He will not fail us. Remember Daniel? Cast into the lion's den. Did the Lord fail him? No. You follow the Lord. Whether you be young or old, you follow the Lord. You suffer for Christ. The Lord will not fail you. He will be with you. Those three that were cast into the fiery furnace. The Lord was with them. And so the Lord will be with us. Yes, we have a cross to bear, but we have a captain who goes before and supports us. Now, before we move to our second point, time is going. Turn with me to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through to verse 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through to verse 3. And this is the way we are to so live as we suffer for Christ. Hebrews 12 verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Consider him. Consider the contradiction or the rebellion how he was spoken against. Consider what he went through. Your captain, your redeemer who helps you, consider him. Remember what he suffered for you. And follow him. Look unto Jesus as you're bearing the cross. Look unto Jesus as your enemies gather around you and speak against you. Look unto Jesus. How often we've read of the accounts of the martyrs and the covenanters in Scotland when they were surrounded by their persecutors and they were facing death. Their eye was focused on the Lord. The Lord came in for them and special grace they had known. And they focused on him. Consider him. When you're laughed at, when you're spoken against, it's not easy. But you consider Christ. You look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It began with him and it will end with him. He'll see you through. You know, that's a great aid to us as we battle on. He's the author and finisher. Look to him. Consider what he did for you. That he might keep you. That you might be preserved. He's the author and the finisher. He'll see you to the finishing line. We're in a race. He'll see us to the finishing line. We're in a battle. He'll see us through to victory. Look unto him. When you are aware, and you will be, because we have our enemies, when you are aware you're being watched, when you are aware they're speaking against you to try and land you into trouble, look unto Jesus. Secondly, and more briefly, God's word will be my consideration. God's word will be my consideration. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. The wicked, the ungodly, they're waiting. They're looking out for me. I'm aware of it. I'm going to turn to God's word and consider it. For God's word is my comfort in adversity and direction in the dark. Listen to Matthew Paul the Puritan. As my best comforters and counselors and defenders against all the assaults and designs of mine enemies, turn to the word of God. The devil doesn't want us to do so. He doesn't want us to be helped in affliction through God speaking to us through the word. He doesn't want that. You resist him. And you turn to the word of God. For they are the scriptures are our comforters, our counselors and defenders. Thomas Manton. Now he shows the double benefit he had from the word of God. Comfort in trouble and counsel in duty. He knew great comfort. He was aware of his enemies. But to the word of God he turned. And he found comfort. Now just go back a couple of pages. To verse 49 and verse 50. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy words have quickened me. This is my comfort. I've been comforted before. We can all say that, can't we? We've been comforted before. This is my comfort. I know the Lord comforts me through his word. Therefore, at the present time, but also in the future, I will turn and consider the word, for there is comfort to be found within. How the Holy Spirit impresses the word upon our hearts. And divine comfort floods into the heart where there has been sorrow. A cold river of sorrow flows around our hearts. But then comfort comes. And there's this warming, you know what that's like. This warming, you think of a cold winter's day. A hot coffee. Or milk in the morning or at night time. My grandma, every evening before she went to bed, had hot milk. And I used to go out there some Fridays and she would give me hot milk as well. Lovely, and the warming effect of the milk going in, and it made you feel a little better. Oh, the warming effect of the word, the comfort. Oh, for the Lord to warm our souls. My heart seems so cold at times, and there's a coldness sometimes in affliction When we're surrounded by our enemies, we feel the coldness of their words. We're aware of their cold looks. But then the scriptures are used and warmth fills the soul. There's the comfort of the scriptures. The apostle wrote in Romans 15 verse 4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Through patience and comfort of the scriptures. See how the Lord can so use the word. We read the word and it's applied and we find comfort. He has given, amongst other things, this wonderful book that we might be comforted in the battle. Reach for the book when you are aware you're in the fierce part of the battle. Oh, consider God's comfort. There's nothing like it, is it? In Psalm 94, verse 19, "In the multitude of my faults within me, thy comforts delight my soul." There's the psalmist. He had many faults in his mind. He was but a man. There were faults going around his mind. You know how it is. Faults going around the mind, maybe late in the evening, or thinking about a number of things, and then you read, or a verse comes to your mind, and comfort fills your mind. It's because of God, isn't it? He's given the word, and he impresses it upon the soul. Comfort is known. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." Of all comfort. There's comfort for you in the valley of sickness. There's comfort for you when you're cast down and perplexed. There's comfort awaiting for you when you're in the battle, under siege, under attack, facing the unkind words of men. He's the God of all comfort. There's comfort for every situation. Let's turn to the word of God. There's comfort, but there's also counsel. Such wise counsel. In verse 24 we read, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You think of the battlefield. The general comes along and he gives orders. Wise orders. This must be done. You must look to that situation. We're counseled through the word of God. We're in a battle and we need counsel, don't we? How are we to respond to those who speak against us? Go to the Beatitudes. And the Lord counsels us how we are to respond. When we're in the fight and the devil is firing his darts at us, we go to the word of the Lord. And we see there we're to lift up the shield of faith and we're to use the sword of the Spirit. How we're counseled in the battle. We need it. And we need it again and again, because when we face the battle again, we need fresh help, don't we? We need to be taught again how to lift the shield of faith. We need to be taught again how to use the sword of the Spirit. This book is a counselor. And consider our great counselor, Isaiah 9 verse 6. Counsels us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The one who was strong and mighty in the battle, Psalm 64, counsels you in the battles you face. We're counseled, we're comforted, we're counseled, we're encouraged to go on. How many a soldier needed encouragement to go on? In the Second World War, there are the encouragements of Scripture. I'll bring you one, particularly to do with a battle. Here, Jehazel is speaking. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And he said, "Hearken ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. Yes, we engage. We fight in the battle, but the Lord's over all. What encouragement. We can go on then. Yes, it can be so hard as we face those that speak against us, having plotted against us. But we can go on, leaning on the Beloved, knowing that the battle is not ours but God's. It's so hard at times as we're sieved in the sieve and the darts keep coming. But the Lord has prayed for us, made intercession for us. The battle is not yours, but God's. What an encouragement. There's comfort, there's counsel, and there's encouragement. What encouragement it is, and how we need it. How we need encouragement as we bear the cross. Now turn to the word in trouble. Puritan Thomas Manton wrote, "The best way to ease the heart from trouble that doth arise from the opposition of men of power and place is by serious consulting the word." Consult the word. Go prayerfully. "Lord, I'm struggling in the battle. There's so many against me. I'm perplexed. I'm so weak. I feel my weakness. Speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Help me through thy word." And what does the psalmist say here? And we must draw to a close. "The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies." Thy testimonies, another title for the word, as we saw in the early part of this series. There's different titles, different words used to describe the word of God. Well, notice what the psalmist says, "But I will consider thy testimonies." I will consider, I will regard, I will understand. I will consider thy word. How we need to stop and consider the word. We need to meditate upon it. We need to understand it. This is what the Lord is saying to me. It may be so dark, but the Lord says he will hold my hand. He will support me in the battle. He will be with me through the fires of adversity. That's what I must understand. And that's what I desire to understand. How we need to read the Bible. How we need to meditate on the Bible. Let me just ask you a simple question tonight. We know the benefit of the Word of God. We know the comforts that come from the Word of God. The encouragement and the counsel. How are you doing now? As you read the Word of God in your life. Are you getting through books of the Bible? Are you reading consecutively? You know, sometimes I come to a particular chapter that there's such long names in the chapter, and it's not easy at times, is it? But then something just comes up. And such an encouragement. And I often think then, I'm so glad I persevered through that chapter and didn't just turn the page over, because I would have missed the Lord so speaking to my soul, which I so needed. How are we doing now? Reading the Bible. It's a source of great comfort, a source of great counsel and encouragement. I will consider, I will regard, I will understand. Having prayed, "Lord, help me to understand thy word." How we need to meditate upon it. Psalm 1 verse 1 and 2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He meditates upon it. Let's meditate on it. Meditate firstly on those texts that consider the power of God. That's a great help to us, isn't it? To regard those texts. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding." What a help to that is. Meditate on that. Meditate secondly on those texts concerning the providence of God. That's a great help in the battle, isn't it? And in all trials. Though providence may be dark and mysterious, God is over all. He so loves you and he's working out things for your good. Having regarded providence in the battle, turn with the psalmist and cry in Psalm 57 verse 2. "I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me." All things. That's our confidence, isn't it? Not just some things, but all things. If it were just some things, there's no hope for you tonight, let alone tomorrow. But he performeth all things. He performeth, he brings to completion all things. That's a wonderful thought, isn't it? He performs all things, brings to completion. Therefore, I get through the battle. I'll get through my trials. I'll get to the gates of heaven. Meditate on those texts concerning the providence of God. Well, we haven't got time to go on tonight, but just one more. Meditate on those texts concerning the shepherd and the shepherding of our souls. We're in a battle. We have our enemies, but we have a great shepherd who leads us on. And so we read in Isaiah 40 verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. The pathways before us, and there's boulders, there's thorns on the pathway, yet he gently leads those that are with young. Such is the shepherd's skill, such is the shepherd's love, mercy and care. In the battle, he leads us gently on. What are we to do now? We're bearing a cross for Jesus, aren't we? Turn to the word of God in the battle. When you feel the weight of the burden, the cross upon you, turn to the word of God and look unto Jesus. Consider him. There be strength for you. His strength and you through his word. You wait on him. The ungodly, they're waiting, they're looking out for you. You wait on him. And remember that promise, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You wait. Your captain will come and feed your soul. The Holy Spirit who so loves you will apply the word to your heart. And you in time will find help, comfort, counsel and encouragement in the battle. Amen. Let us pray.